These two guys came out of nowhere, really, to become some people who changed late-night television. Rises like this, journeys like this are not very common. It's something that basically can only happen in the social media age, where these two guys get discovered because they have chemistry on Twitter. And they end up turning that into success after success, just a chemistry between friends that ends up with their own big time Showtime show. Any of you who are funny on Twitter or get some validation from being the clever one on Twitter should be inspired by this story, because these guys, by their own admission, were nobodies who were just having fun running dead end job after dead end job. And then all of a sudden they stumble onto this chemistry that makes them friends, and it's televised. And it feels like chemistry, unlike you see on most shows where they're just comedically, they work very well off of each other. So before we talk to them, though, we ask you to rate, subscribe, and review. There are a lot of things here on the Levitard and Friends Network that you could go back and fill the time with when we're on vacation and you need a little something because you don't have our show and you don't want to do fill-in host. You can go back throughout the network. Stupidity, That's What She Said, Mina Kimes' podcast, Marty Smith's podcast, and South Beach Sessions. You could do that. And one of the sponsors supporting all of this stuff is ZipRecruiter. So, Mike, before we get started here with Deezus and Mero, tell the people about ZipRecruiter.
Yeah, ZipRecruiter's been with us since day one. And as you know, hiring is challenging. But there's one place where you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates, and that place is ZipRecruiter.com/beach. ZipRecruiter.com/beach. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. And as those applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. And right now, our listeners, we implore you to check out ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/beach. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BEACH. ZipRecruiter.com/beach. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire.
Again, we ask you to support the sponsors. Just follow what it is that Mike said there so that we could get the credit for it and they can see that the people who support this show get rewarded with your support. Let's get to it. Here's Deezus and Mero. Not a lot of guys have the story that these guys have. They basically were funny guys on social media and connected. People could see their chemistry, and they've turned it into a bit of an industry. Deezus and Mero airs Mondays, Thursdays on Showtime. This summer, you can see them live all over the country. Miami, Austin in July, L.A., Houston, Dallas in August. If you want tickets and tour dates, BodegaHive.com is where you go. Deezus and Mero with us. I have found your guys and your story fascinating. I found it interesting that you have been able to do what it is that you've done. Deezus, like, how crazy has it been? I know it's an open-ended question, but you look back on it and you see what?
There's no adjective to describe it because, like, it still doesn't seem real. So, like, sometimes we're even on stage and you just look at the crowd and you just, yo, how did we get here? Because it's a journey that not many people have gone on and very unique to us. And it's just, like, every day is a new adventure and every day you're still just kind of shocked. Like, yo, we are really doing this. Like, it has not become old yet. It's not at the point where you're just, like, tired. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, every day is something new and fun. Or just, like, last week we were at the Alexander Wang fashion show. And at one point I leaned over the mirror and I'm like, bam, we're here. We're a couple of feet away from Anna Wintour. That's how wild our life is now.
How many moments like that have you had, Merrill?
Man, a ton, man. Like, from going back to, like, the MTV days when Deezus sat on a pregnant Kim.
Kim Kardashian, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Up until now, like, bro, we had Whoopi Goldberg come on the show and be like, you guys are keeping me relevant. And I'm like, no, the fuck. I was like, you're Whoopi Goldberg. I was like, this is crazy. I was like, I was standing in front of a bodega shirtless a year ago. And now Whoopi Goldberg is saying, we are keeping you relevant. That is wild. So there's a lot of stop and pause moments where you're just like, holy shit. Like, how did just being authentic and having fun with your friends and joking around become the funnest job ever? You know what I mean?
Were you guys ready for any of it? Because fame like that, that fast, that's something that could corrupt the young people, mature people. Were you guys in any way ready for what was coming?
It came at a good time because if we were like in our early 20s, we probably would like spent all our money on clothes and cocaine and OD'd already and had a nervous breakdown. But because, like, you know, we had regular jobs and we've actually lived life. And this comes on as like just a different part of our lives. But we've had jobs where we were dead broke, jobs that we hated. And we know it's very rare to have a job that you like, that's fun, that you're able to do with your friend. And it comes so naturally to you. So if you just keep that perspective, the celebrity and all that stuff, that comes with it. And that's cool. But we're so even-minded and just humble guys that it's just like, yo, this is cool, but don't get gassed. Don't start being like the wild assholes. Like, you'll never see us in the street, like, snubbing our nose at people like, oh, you're beneath us. Because, like, we're just, we understand that we take it one day at a time. And it's just like, if you're not nice to your fans and not nice to regular people, you know, you're not going to have any fans anymore. And this little ride is going to end. So I think we've been handling the celebrity kind of well. My man Miro has stepped it up. He's dripping with the Versace now. So, you know, we know what I'm saying?
Are you? You really? So that's it? You're not Bodega anymore? You're Versace?
It's an homage to Big Pun and the Notorious B.I.G., who were Bodega guys who elevated to the level of Italian silks.
No, what he does is by wearing Versace in the hood, it's aspirational. And I'm not even kidding. Like, people come up to us all the time and they're like, yo, I can't believe what you and Meryl have done. Like, that's so big. Like, I'm so proud of you. What you're doing is so important for the Bronx and for, like, little kids. They can look up to you and they realize that you can still be the same person you've always been and be successful doing it. So when you see Miro with the Versace hopping out the whip, you're like, yo, that's my guy from the Bronx. He made it. If he made it, I can make it. So, you know, you could tell the accountant that, I guess. But Miro spending that Versace, it's doing community service.
Who had the worst job from among you two while you were coming up? Because, I can't tell. I see this, Deezus had blog posts and they had headlines like free Verizon webinar on offering leadership principles for small business owners. Like, that does not seem like the greatest job for you.
Oh my God. You know, the worst job you could possibly have is something that you know you're smarter than what you're doing and it's just draining. And, you know, at the time that job was what it was, but it was just like sometimes, fam, I had to take a press release from Smoothie King and turn it into like 400 words. And it was just like, oh, fam, come on. There's got to be a better purpose for me. So it wasn't so much the worst job. It was just not really mentally stimulating. But the worst job I ever had was one of my first jobs where I had to go around an auto body shop with a bucket and pick up dead rats. So I always kept that in perspective when I really complain about my job, because nothing was worse than that job.
For me, I mean, I worked at a beauty supply store, and I didn't know anything about beauty supplies. It was like somebody's aunt knew my mom, and she was like, yo, can you please give this motherfucker a job? Because he's asking me for $5 every day, you know what I mean, to go smoke weed. So I ended up working at Sally Beauty Supply at the illustrious Bay Plaza, you know what I'm saying, and wearing a do-rag and telling women about deep conditioning. And, like, just straight talking out of my ass about beauty products that I had knew nothing about.
So you were bullshitting, like, all day? Like, you were just making it up, just getting by on charm?
Pretty much. And that's such an important part of what we do. It's like, we're affable dudes. We're not dickheads. You know what I mean? Like, when you hang around us, you're like, yo, those guys are cool. I like those guys. They have a good rapport. And then we'll bring you into the, like, if you're sitting here with us and we're just chopping it up, talking about whatever, we'll bring you into the conversation. Like, yo, Dan, what do you think about this? You know what I mean? Like, yo, Dan, did you see how you feel about Kawhi? You know what I mean? Like, you think he can throw the team on his back? Or who's going to be the MVP of the finals? Or, you know, whatever. Like, whatever it is that we're talking about, we bring that other person in so it doesn't feel like it's just me and Jesus talking to each other. It's like we're all talking. We're all having a conversation.
How has Showtime been with you guys? Is it what you expected?
Yo, it's great. It's great. It's because Showtime's a real channel. And when you think of Showtime, you kind of think of, like, depending on your age, you might think of, like, softcore porn late at night or just really serious dramas like Ray Donovan and Billions. And when we were signing at Showtime, they were so excited, bro. Like, they had, like, diagrams and the conference rooms were just full of, like, 50 staff members that wanted to meet us. And then, you know, at first you're just like, yo, this is Hollywood. This is how it starts. Every show is like this. Like, oh, it, you know, in the honeymoon period. And then it turns to reality. Mm-hmm. And it's not so friendly. And you request certain things and you don't get them. But with Showtime, that's never happened. Showtime, you wouldn't see the Showtime people on set. You're happy because they're happy to see you and they're never complaining. And they're like, yo, is this okay? Is this all right? They're very hands-on without ruining anything. And it's hands-on, like, how can we help you make the best show? They don't get in the way. They're like, yo, you guys, have a proven talent. You guys do what you do, and no one does it the way you guys do it. So what we want to do is provide you the resources to do what you do, and we'll step out the way.
They're hands off in the best way possible. Like, it's just, they know what we bring to the table, and they just help elevate it. You know what I mean? They help elevate and polish it, because it's like, people know what our forte is.
So you guys now have yes men. You guys have both have yes men in a couple of years. That's what's happened.
Yes, that's right. Put me on record as saying, yes, David Nevins is our yes man.
Jesus, did you say Showtime is a real channel? Did I hear you correctly there?
Yes, I did. Showtime is a real channel.
Okay? It's real. You got to pay extra for that. It's more than real.
You know what? And not even to be funny, like Showtime, when people come up to us in the street, they're like, yo, when you hear Showtime, because think about it, you can get cable and you get all those channels right there. You got to pay extra for Showtime. So you got to really want it. And then even the fact that puts an extra emphasis on our audience. Like, yo, do you really fuck with these guys? Are you willing to, you know, add another channel? And they were like, yo, fam, we will follow these guys to hell. All our fans, as soon as we said we're going to Showtime, they were like, ooh, well, I'm getting Showtime. I say also because Showtime's marketing budget was, wow, we had Metro cards, we had billboards, we were all over the place. So,
we had a Showtime Super Bowl ad, dog.
Yeah, they had us doing commentary before the Wilder Fury fight. My friends are calling me from a bar like, fam.
Yo, you're on pay-per-view.
You guys are at a boxing match. And I was like, yeah.
Merrill, when did you realize that you guys had this weird following, right? This weird new age social media following that could be built into something? Like, where along the path did you realize it?
I want to say early on, but it really hit when we started doing the live shows. Because we would do the live shows, and then after every live show, we would do a meet and greet. And we would talk to fans and, you know, take pictures and, like, you know, shake hands, autograph stuff, do stuff like that. And so many people would come up to us and be like, listen, man, like, I was going through some shit. Like, I was going through a bad breakup. I was going through, like, you know, my grandmother's sick. Like, a myriad of life problems. And then they would say, I would sit down and listen to your guys' podcast, watch your guys' show, and, like, all that would melt away. And it would help me, like, cope with what I was going through. And that was when it was just like, holy shit. Okay, now we're not just making you laugh. Now we're, like, helping your mental health. That's wild. You know what I mean? Like, to be able to do that for somebody, it's just like, you can't put a dollar amount on that.
Well, how did you know that you were tapping into that, though, Jesus? Like, connecting to that. That's an unusual connection. Like, how did you know to do it?
You know how we knew? Because back in 2014, we had just started our first iteration of the podcast, and our friend A-Track from Fool's Gold Record hit us up, shout to him, and he was like, yo, come host this concert for us, Fool's Gold's Day Off. We had never hosted a concert. We didn't know what we were getting into. It was like 8 hours. It was a lot of work. We were exhausted at the end of it. And, like, as the crowd is filling out, there's three girls were standing at the bottom of the stage. And I thought they were standing there waiting for, like, one of the rappers or whatever. And they kept pointing at us. And it was like, we've been here for you guys. We stayed for you. And I was just like, what? And just the look on their face, I was like, why would anyone just, like, wait for us like this? You get that same reaction with all our fans. It's like, it's so much bigger than just a show because there's, like, a level of intimacy they feel with us. And it's not just, you know, those are just guys I watch. They're like, those are my guys. Those are my friends. When we meet these people, they're shaking. They know because it's the earnesty, the authenticity. But also, like, we're nice guys, and we legit care about our fans, and the fans know that. If it's just a cash grab, your fans will always know if it's just a cash grab. If we were just supposed to, like, drop $9,000 limited edition Supreme jackets, they'd be like, all right, they're doing a lot. But we never do anything like that, and our fans appreciate that. And that's why our fans ride so hard for us.
Forgive me, Merrill, for not knowing this because I'm ignorant on this. But what happened with Viceland?
Well, it was just like you deal with the sports world a lot, Dan. So you know how it is. Contract is up. You had a great season. So then other teams come and make offers. And it's just that type of business aspect of it, right? Showtime saw us. A couple of other networks saw us. And it became kind of like this bidding war, so to speak. We were just kind of like weighing our options, like, where can we do the most of what we want to do? And, you know, it ended up being Showtime. And, you know, shout out to David Nevins, shout out to Victor Lopez, our manager, you know what I mean, for, like, navigating this whole thing, Christina Bazdikas, our agent. It was just a matter of, our contract is up here, what's our next step? You know what I mean? And at that time, we already had suitors, and it was just a matter of, like, picking what we felt was the best fit.
No hard feelings on any of that stuff?
Yeah, no. Nobody's burning our jerseys over there.
Okay. And did you know when you were over there, did you know that that was going to be something that you could parlay into the next step?
when the show took off, you know, it took a little bit to take off, but when it did, it just became kind of like this cultural juggernaut that, like, people of color and, like, you know, people that look and sound like us gravitated towards. And it became kind of like appointment viewing. Like, I can't tell you how many people have come up to us and been like, hey, you know, me and my girlfriend or me and my boyfriend or me and my whoever, like, it's a ritual for us. Like, we sit down, we get our glass of wine or whatever we do, and we sit down and we watch you guys. You know what I mean? So it was just like, that was just like a wow moment, you know, for us. You know what I mean? Because it's like, okay, we're appointment viewing. When else do you hear that type of shit? You know what I mean? Like, when people say appointment viewing, they think about, like, shit like Game of Thrones and stuff like that. Like, you know?
On the path, have you guys been scared at any point? Because you always seem super confident.
We've been playing with house money. I'm not saying that we're not supposed to be here, but it's just that we have the skills to be here. But you know how entertainment works. Like, you have to get in front of the right people. It's not really a meritocracy, so to speak. There's a lot of, like, politics and stuff behind the scenes. So for us to be able to rise to the level that we've risen to without needing the approval of certain gatekeepers, that's been crazy.
You know what it is? It's kind of like how Draymond Green gave that interview about when he's on the floor, he feels he is the best player in the NBA. And no one can take that away from him. When we're doing what we do, there's no one we feel is better than us. And that might sound cocky, but that's the way you have to believe. And we have proven it. Like, we've done live shows. We've done venues with thousands of people. And if this was not a real thing, we would have been exposed already. We know we can do. We know our ability to do it without anyone backing us. And we know how we could just show up on stage, crush it, and leave. So that's where that confidence comes from. It's not cockiness. It's like, yo, we does this. If you ask Steph Curry, he can eat a three. He's going to, like, suck his teeth and be like, what the f*** you think? And that's us with comedy.
What is the closest thing that you guys have seen on television to yourselves? Like, where, because the uniqueness of it is that these people, these many brown people, have not seen someone speaking for them on television through comedy and talking about politics and doing what you guys do. What's the closest thing you've seen to what you two are?
BronxNet, BrooklynNet, like that low budget college access thing where people are just figuring out how to make TV. And I say that because I think the problem is in TV, what I've learned is once something works, you just carry it on to the next show. So people have been doing TV a certain way for years. So they just bring stuff from every show. And our show is just like, yo, we've never done this. So let's just make it up on the fly as it goes on. So you don't see, like, a shot of us, like, walking to the chairs, per se, because we're just like, why? Why are we doing that? Is that just how TV was made? Who says we have to do that? Let's just cut that out. That'll give us more time on TV. And I don't think any other show on TV looks like our show has, like, people walking through the set, has, like, the host drinking, the crowd interactions. It's a very unique show.
Again, like, not to sound arrogant or whatever, but I honestly feel like there's absolutely nothing like that on TV. Like, even with the public access stuff, like, yeah, there's, like, that element of it, of, like, intimacy and, like, connection to the hosts and everything like that. Once you add the polish and once you add the post-production and all that production value, it's like there's literally nothing on TV like this. There's never been anything on TV like this. It would have to be a mashup of, like, what Jesus said, BronxNet, and, like, maybe Arsenio Hall. It's, like, the closest that you could get. And even that, I think, is, like, a stretch.
What happened with you guys and the Swifties? I don't know the details on this story except that there were death threats.
Okay, quick way, I'll explain it right now. We went on Jimmy Fallon's show, as we do. We've been on for our seventh appearance, little plug right there. And we were playing, like, Password with Charisse Theron and Jimmy Fallon. Me and Meryl, you know, we work so closely together, we can finish each other's sentences. So one of the hints was Taylor Swift. Meryl looks at me and says, she has a long back. I said immediately, Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift fans felt we were body shaming her and decided that they were going to flood our Instagram with emojis and death threats. But when you realize death threats are coming from a 13-year-old, you kind of can ignore them. And also, they were telling us stuff like, I hope you lick a toilet and die. So it was like, damn, this beef isn't even worth it. And because teenagers have the concentration of a goldfish, we knew that after 3 days it would be done, and it's all gone. It stopped, and now they've moved on to other things.
You were being attacked by a brigade of teenagers is what happened. You experienced it the same way, Meryl.
You know what it was? It was a little wilder because, like, they would get into my DMs and whatever and be like, I know you have four children. I know where you live. I know where they go to school. If you don't apologize to Taylor Swift by the end of the week, you'll pay, or some like creepy, weird shit like that. And I'm just like, I'm from the Bronx. I'm just like, yo, I wish you would. Like, pull up. You know what I mean? Like, but, you know, being in the entertainment industry, that's not how things work. So, you know, we had to go through PR and do all that other type of stuff. But I'm not even going to act like I was scared. I was never for a moment scared. But it's just kind of like, what type of person do you have to be to threaten somebody's family, threaten to dox them over somebody that wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire?
But not only that, Instagram doesn't make it – it wasn't scary. It was annoying because Instagram doesn't make it easy to delete a lot of comments on your page. So, like, I'd go on there, and there's, like, something like 100 comments, all these little emojis. I was like, I'm not going to spend all day just going on this, deleting it. So I just, like, limited the comments. They really were on Jimmy Fallon's page going hard against him. And it's funny because he was like, what? He was like, I got a social media page. So, like – these people, they're not even bothering anyone. It's a game to them, so you can't take it seriously.
Have you made any real enemies?
The IRS. Boy, when they come knocking, you got to give them everything, man.
I feel like we've vanquished all our enemies, man. Like, they've either extended an olive branch to us, or we have just totally annihilated them. Like, I don't think we've taken an L yet. We're like the Floyd Mayweathers of comedy, man. We have never taken an L
without the domestic violence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very important. What's next?
What's next? Movies,
books,
hotels, amusement parks, maybe a Broadway play with Lin-Manuel. We go all the way to the top. We might start our own. You know what? Because we're tired of watching the Knicks be terrible in the NBA. We're going to do the XFL kind of thing, and we're starting our own NBA. But the only team in it is the Knicks. The Nuevo Knicks, and they win every year.
I'm sorry to do this to you. Is Francesa there? I just wanted his opinions on New York sports. I can't help myself because you're too good at it.
Well, hey, Mike, first time, long time. Let me ask you a question. The Yankees, you know, they got that guy Clint Frazier. You know, I just want to know, you think his father is Clyde Frazier from the Knicks? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, let me tell you something. I had some suspicions myself, okay? Because he's been known to wear ostentatious footwear on the field, okay? And that's not how you play baseball. You play baseball the right way. You wear New Balance cleats, and you go out there and you hustle hard. And I'm not seeing a lot of that from him, all right? So, Bonds, can you get me another Coke, please?
That had to make you crazy as a Dominican guy growing up hearing him talk about Dominican players.
Oh, man. It's crazy because it's like, I feel like he doesn't understand that, like, we're so naturally gifted that we don't have to run to first base.
Oh, come on.
Like we don't have to.
Boom.
We can jog.
Boom.
We can flip the bat. We can flip
Turn
the bat.
Michael.
We can hot dog
Turn
it.
Turn his mic off. The only reason Dominicans are good at hitting home runs is because they don't want to run the first. I stand by this. Just watch the first base.
I would Merengue the first base if I was in the Navy.
Mero annoys Desus, right?
Mero annoys Desus? No.
No? There's nothing there? Because some of your Viceland crew has given me secrets on their tiny little things that he does that make you a little bit crazy.
They're not. You know what? It doesn't make me crazy. They just... At one point, I would say they made me crazy, but I've known Mero for so long, it's just like, that's just what Mero does, so I can't get mad at it. Sometimes when it's time to go on stage, he's like, he lags back a little, like, I can't get, when I'm on Jesus, I get mad and punch him in the face, like, that's just, man, we're having way too much fun to be having, like, little squabs and little pet peeves and shit like that. Only thing I don't like that Mero does, Mero enjoys eating a lot of cheese products. We have to ride in a car together, so he's like the fart. So I'm not a big fan of that, but that's about it.
You guys are gassy and you're grassy, too, because when you blew through here, I'm still paying for the stone crab bill. And furthermore, it's because you guys were so hungry because you made ESPN executives crazy because you came in and threw a bunch of blunts on the table. Did you not realize that? Did you not? Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I mean, you should have seen the meetings. There were so many meetings because – on Disney Air, why are there blunts on the table and a grinder? There's a grinder there too.
Hey, this is the brand. The brand is strong. What do you want?
We always have our kids with us.
Did you go downstairs and purposely say, we're going to order the most expensive things? We're going to do this because we can.
We were told.
In Miami. So we were like, yo, let's test if he really runs Miami.
Listen, when Tony Montana says he runs Miami, you got to believe him.
Yeah, but I was thinking chicken fingers and fries. I wasn't thinking stone crab and lobster, and you had things imported.
What do you expect? We've left the Bronx like four times in our life. Like, we were just like, whoa!
I couldn't believe
it,
though.
I don't know what burrata is, but I want it.
I'm not even going to lie. Like, at one point, we're just sitting there drinking and cracking open lobster legs, and you're on the air like, yeah, are they coming on the show? And I was like, is he talking about us? So we're not supposed to be on there for like 2 more hours.
Hey guys, there is still a trail of stone crab claws all the way through the alley back there. They haven't been able to clean it up. Like, you guys were trying to hurt me on that bill, correct?
Oh my God, we were doing so much. We apologize.
All right. Well, congratulations. Yeah, I can see how sincerely sorry he is. Desus and Mero, Monday and Thursday on Showtime this summer. You can see them live in Miami and Austin in July, in L.A., Houston and Dallas in August. Tickets and tour dates, visit BodegaHive.com. Thank you guys for being on. I always appreciate talking to you, and I'm happy for your success.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it so much.
We love you, bro.
Hey, listen. And if you don't like Dan Le Batard, if you don't listen to Dan Le Batard, you don't get the show.
Very poorly done.
Got him.
Our thanks to Desus and Mero. Speaking of people who have chemistry, I've been married miserably to this guy for more than 15 years now.
I love you too.
And he's got a podcast that you should listen to, Stupidity. It has found its voice. It is also aggressively lazy. So you probably don't even know what it is you're doing this week.
I have no idea, to be honest with you, but I'm going to find someone to do the work for me. I just haven't found that person yet. Okay. A lot of people in July, it's tough. I've noticed a lot of people take vacation. So I'm going to have to dig a little deeper to find some people to do the podcast for me.
You chief among them.
Okay. So we will see what happens with Stupidity this week. And when I say we will see, Stugatz is included in that week. He has no idea what's going to be on Stupidity, but we were asked to promote it, so that's how we're promoting it.
Stupidity!